136, we stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, imploring Him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sins.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your punishment, now and forever. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Introit. The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. You have made my days as rest, and my ages as nothing before you. Certainly every man in his best state is but vapor. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the reproach of the foolish. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads.
They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
God on high,
and on earth peace.
with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, give us grace that we may cast away the works of darkness and put upon ourselves the armor of light, now in the fleeting time of this mortal life in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to life immortal. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the last Sunday in the church year is from the 65th chapter of Isaiah. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing, and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people. And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble. For they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
The king's daughter shall be brought to the king. The virgins, her companions who follow her, shall be brought to you. With gladness and rejoicing they shall be brought. They shall enter the king's palace.
The epistle reading is from the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with them to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." This is the Gospel of our Lord. The Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. A sermon text from Matthew 25. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. While we were still in our sins, Christ died for us. He took away the punishment that we deserved, and he gave us the gift of eternal life. The forgiveness of sins is announced, and it's given out through the preaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments. The forgiveness of sins is received by the arm of faith, which also is a gift of God. So that when Jesus said, "It is finished," there was nothing left for us to do with our own powers. We have that sure and so certain hope of eternal life. Now, over the years, there have been Reformed churches who have taught once saved, always saved. What they mean by this, if at any time you came to believe in Jesus, then no matter what happens afterwards, well, don't worry, you would be saved. Now, this is not the teaching of God's holy word. God's word teaches that man can, in fact, fall away from faith and be lost forever. We have stories like the parable of the sower, where it talks about the two groups who believed for a while and then fell away when persecution came. So often we have the scripture warning us about not falling away. Today's parable as well teaches us about five virgins who at one time were united with the Church of God and they were waiting for the bridegroom, but in the end they were locked out of eternal life. The parable ends with that warning, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." In other words, eternal life can be lost. And we need to know. We need to be warned ahead of time so we know how to avoid that loss of eternal life. Now, I am not aware of any Lutheran preachers who actually teach once saved, always saved. But I do know Lutherans that live as if that teaching were true. I know Lutherans who trust in some past experience of faith. I know Lutherans who speak in glowing terms about the faith in their former church. They remember, yes, when I went to summer camp and I went to Walther League, they have fond memories of church in the past. But then they can't tell me the name, even the name of their present pastor in their town's church. They remember, I remember Sunday school training, but they no longer study the Word of God. They may remember their confirmation class. That pastor was really a tough teacher, but, I don't go anymore. Yeah, I remember First Communion, still got my picture, but they no longer practice the faith of long ago. I think it's interesting that those in Reformed circles often use the term backsliding. Backsliding. They like that term because it implies that I'm still going in the right direction. I'm just back a little bit further. It kind of fits quite nicely. With once saved, always saved. It just means that I better try a little bit harder. It's a rather gentle way of saying that you're not doing quite what you should. It's time then to get out another Christian self-help book, Tips for Being Successful. It's time for another revival and to be driven by new days of purpose or something like that. But what if you're not sliding back? What if you've actually turned and left the faith behind? You believed at one time, but not anymore. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. That watch, therefore, is not about the past. You can't watch in the past. Watching is something you do in the present. Faith in Jesus Christ is not about the past, it's about a present trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. Even though Jesus' work of accomplishing your salvation was done in the past, your faith in his completed work is what's active right now in the present. Faith presently listens to the Word of God. It trusts that the Word of God creates and strengthens our faith. We don't just warmly look back at God's Word as a hobby, which we now no longer practice. Faith continues to draw strength from the Word of God today. Even though you were baptized in the past, maybe even many years ago, your faith presently trusts in the promise that God is using that baptism today to wash away your sins right now. Many Lutherans who were told to trust in their baptism maybe turned it into a reformed kind of once saved, always saved. So we ask, are you saved? And they say, well, yeah, I was baptized, as if nothing's going on right now. They no longer attend divine service, no longer receive the body and blood, no longer confess their sins with the baptized children of God. It's as if their baptism was a diploma, a high school diploma, that certifies, at one time, I knew some stuff. I knew my writing and arithmetic or whatever. I knew how the difference between the pronouns who and whom. But, well, now, I guess I'm still a Christian because I got that confirmation certificate. I've been baptized something. That's not faith. Faith actually is in the present. It trusts in what God is doing in the Word. It trusts that what He did to you in the past is still working right here and now. He's using that baptism to wash away your sins. Faith is not a past relic. It's a present action. Today's Holy Gospel speaks about the kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of God is like. I've always said that's about the church. So let's look at it this way. So someone says to you, so tell me about the church. Tell me about church. And you might say, well, there are pews, they're all in a row. There's a stained glass window, it's up front above the altar, which is draped in green. There's a pulpit and a lectern on either side, and the organ in the balcony. Yes, but what I mean is tell me what goes on at church. Okay. Tell me what goes on. The organ plays the hymns to guide the congregation. The pastor preaches and prays. We respond, we sing, chant, speak the creed and responses. Okay? But what do you sing about? Or what does the pastor say when he preaches? Maybe we're getting a little closer. The hymns speak about the forgiveness of sins in Jesus. The liturgy leads us to confess our sins. The pastor announces forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. We profess the Christian truths about our Savior. And after the readings, we pray, petition God, we receive Lord's Supper. Right. Now, today's Holy Gospel is clearly talking about the church, and it's teaching us about the difference between the foolishness of lamps without oil, that is just lamps, and the wisdom of having lamps with oil. When Jesus says, watch therefore, the point is that you don't want to be having lamps and lamps only, because you will see that they're locked out. Thus, all 10 looked like they were Christians, looked like they were church, but only 5 were wise. Only those who acquired oil were saved. So, the outward appearance of the church with pews, stained glass, altar and pulpit does not ensure that those present are going to be wise virgins going to heaven. There are many congregations which are not even Christians, and they have all those items. The outward appearance, that is, the playing of hymns, congregational singing and chanting, even having a pastor in a pulpit preaching, does not assure that those who are listening are wise virgins going to heaven. Just recently I was shown a hymn. It was all about climate change. Pastor, you want to sing that one? It's a hymn. The organ can play it. No. There are pastors that preach about psychology too, or politics. But that doesn't make wise virgins. Now, you might think that the very next thing I'm going to say is that it all must be about the right content. The content. The pastor needs to preach the law of God to show us our sins. He needs to preach about the gospel, which announces the forgiveness of sins through faith in Jesus. The hymns that you sing need to be Christ-centered, extol the Savior. And that is surely greatly important. But today's text from Matthew 25 goes beyond that. Even that is not enough. There can be clear preaching and teaching, and people can still not be admitted to heaven. The kingdom of heaven is ultimately made up of believers in Jesus Christ. Without faith, a person is not saved. There can be correct preaching and teaching. There can be correct hymnody. But if there is not faith in the content, without faith, a person is not a wise virgin. Without oil in the lamp, there is not salvation. You don't simply hang around the right preaching and teaching and trust in that Christian message. We must not comfort ourselves that we simply have the outward forms of Christian life. All the virgins had lamps, but not all of them had oil. The foolish bought lamps, but have no oil to put in them. Imagine having a car, but then not purchase any gas for the car. It sounds what? Ridiculous. Yes, but they're foolish. That's what they are, foolish virgins. The Greek word for foolish is the word moroi, from which we get the word moron. Yes, to be around all these things, it would be a shame not to have faith in Jesus Christ. There are many outward lamps which are found and in use by the church. They're not bad, but we need to make sure that they are used for the purpose of creating faith. The church provides for us an abundance of services in which you can hear the right preaching of the Word of God, and you can hear the promises about the forgiveness of sins and preaching. We do that because faith comes by hearing. The church desires that by hearing of the Word, you would come to trust in Jesus, your Savior, and then live a godly life of thanksgiving. Those who simply come and hear the words, but don't trust, are simply foolish virgins holding on to lamps. To the wise, it makes no sense to have church without faith. It makes no sense to have preaching if it doesn't create faith in Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, you know as well as I do, I've heard sermons in which they include poems and stories and morals for improving your way of life, but they never preach the gospel that gives faith, the faith-creating message of Jesus. I have seen many services that are contemporary and exciting, and they get your toes to tap, and you might go out singing, but they didn't give the people oil for their lamps. There are many who go to church to get simply a good feeling rather than receive the forgiveness. The music is uplifting, but it doesn't direct us to the uplifting message of Jesus Christ. Similarly, even our sacraments are not to be considered apart from the promise of the forgiveness of sins, that instituting word that promises always to be preached with it, about baptism, about Lord's Supper, the waters of baptism. Yes, you've been baptized and you ought to trust in your baptism. But because the word is connected with it, you simply do not... the word doesn't say, be baptized to be saved. It says, whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. The bread and wine of Lord's Supper, if separated from the word, is simply a snack of bread and wine. But where there are the words of institution, where they create faith, the body and blood is being given out for the forgiveness of sins, for the partaking, that we might be strengthened in our faith, that we might be wise virgins, that we might trust in Jesus, that it is given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. There are many outward things, but we need to make sure that most of all, we watch, therefore, that we have faith. Faith in Jesus Christ, which makes us wise. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.
Amen.
Page 143, we stand. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Almighty God, everlasting Father, we give thanks to you for the innumerable and inestimable spiritual blessings which have bestowed upon us in Jesus Christ throughout this past year. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We ask, O Lord, that you would admonish all those who are false virgins in our congregation, that the mere outward participation, the appearance of being a Christian is not enough, but only a living faith in Christ will admit to the wedding banquet. Strengthen the church by the preaching and teaching of the word, so that she may always cling to Christ in true faith and abound in holy love until the bridegroom's return. Give to all pastors in Christ, including our Bishop James, our pastors Gary and Michael, give them a sense of urgency that they are diligent in the duties of the office of the holy ministry, to preach the gospel, to forgive and retain sins, to administer and distribute the sacraments, so that their people's lamps may always glow. Be with Pastor Josiah Scheck and the Saints at Christ Evangelical Lutheran Church in Richmond, Missouri. Bless our director. Give her wisdom to teach the children entrusted to our care. And bless our learning center. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
O God, King of kings and Lord of lords, kindle in the heart of our President Joe, our Governor J.B., federal and state legislators, county commissioners, our Mayor Steve, city officials and all our judges, kindle in them a love of that which is true and noble, that justice may be done, peace promoted, wealth protected, and mercy shown. Grant protection to all those who risk their lives for the common good, especially the men and women serving in our armed forces. Bless their efforts to defend our freedoms, especially Danny, Jason, and Blake, and our police officers, especially Daniel and Alex. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We ask, dear Lord, your presence and guiding with our shut-in Carolyn, our elderly Violet. Also provide for the needs of Kevin, Victor and Marcia, and Brad, Gibb, Howard, and Stan, with Jack, Levi, Jennifer, Laura, Grover, Joyce. Also be with Jim and Charlotte Haroon. We give thanks to you that Pastor Haroon is returned and is with us. We ask that you would continue to be with Gay, who is recovering from knee surgery. Be with our students, with Sarah, Sadie, Jonathan, Kara, Alexis, and Benjamin and Jacob. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we here remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Praising his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord, our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy,
Holy Lord God of Sabaoth,
heaven and earth are full of
your glory.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Lord of heaven and earth, we praise and thank you for having had mercy on those whom you created, sending your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures
forever. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. We implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith towards you and in fervent love towards one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.